Because I planned the service, I got to choose the scripture reading for myself today. And because this is a meaningful passage to me, and I just wanted it in my own voice today. The passage is Luke 24, verses 36 to 48. Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among him. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And he gave them, then they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me from the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things." May God bless the reading of God's word to you today. So I had mentioned last week that we are in the season after the resurrection. And last week was about looking at the box that the puzzle that we're putting together looks like. And we said that the box that the puzzle piece that, or the puzzle that we're putting together looks like, is the creation of a community of equity and of justice and of sharing and of love. A place of equality and joy, a place where no one felt fear, no one felt unsafe, no one felt judged, a place of total reciprocity and exchange. That was the community that was built at the day of Pentecost, which we are heading toward. So we began with the last page, and then we're flipping all the way now back to the beginning. The idea of resurrection, the idea of it's something that's starting again. Resurrection means that of something that was alive and was not alive, and now it is alive again. All of our sermons between now and Pentecost are going to start with the word This one is just called reassurance. Sometimes in life, we need to be reassured. Anyone ever felt confident about something and then your confidence in that thing or that person got completely cut out from underneath of you? How many of you ever had that? Yeah, I think if I took a poll, that would be about 100% of us. And if we are going to continue in a relationship with that person, place, or thing, we need reassurance, right? We need to be assured again. You know, some people, I would imagine, think that faith comes easy, that I wake up completely confident and start singing hymns like right when I wake up in the morning. You know, "God, I'm so confident in you and I am awesome." Carol can attest, it is not like that at all. that I wake up as messy as everybody else wakes up, and I go through my day having the same need for reassurance that any of us need. I struggle with doubt, like all of us struggle with doubt. That's why today's passage is so personal for me. It goes all the way back to the person that I was after high school. See, as a kid, I grew up in the church. I was a pastor's kid, for crying out loud. And that was why I committed to never being a pastor. Yeah. So I grew up as a pastor. I lost my dad fairly early in life, so I kind of grew up without one. But the idea of that legacy that was always there, of growing up in church and just feeling a reasonable amount of confidence in this whole thing, because when you're a kid, you just accept what your parents tell you. You're not really making judgments about what they're telling you about God or the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus or, you know, anything. They just go like, I'm going with it because mom or dad or grandma says it's true and I believe them that it's true. You know, it's usually around high school time that you start making decisions, which is why we start confirmation around that eighth, ninth grade year. Because we start making decisions about what we actually believe, how we see the world. And for me, when I was in high school, that absolutely happened. And I made this decision that if I believed this stuff about Jesus, about God, that I want to live my life like that. I got very serious about my faith. I went to multiple youth groups. I even started listening to Christian pop music. I shared my faith with everyone. I went on mission trips and service projects and passionately studied the Bible. It was that latter part that got me into a little bit of trouble. See, I'm a passionate learner. Again, Carol can attest, any documentary or even a work of historical fiction will end with hours of me Googling, you know, like doing a deep dive about what really happened in that moment. What are the perspectives of these things? Like, I am off to the races if that's happening because I want to know everything I can about the person, place, or thing I just watched because I love to learn. And as a 19-year-old, the deeper I dove into the Bible, the more problems that I began to have, the more I began to struggle because there's, I think we all can agree, there are things in the Bible that are hard to just make any sense. Sometimes they don't make any sense at all, and historically, they just don't seem to add up, and some things were downright offensive to a modern person trying to suggest a God of love. And the more that I dove, the harder it was for me to maintain my faith, and I found myself as a 19-year-old just shattered, my faith destroyed. Because for me, being a Christian was not simply the religion of my family. It had become the driving force in my life. It was a way for me to locate myself in the world. See, in your teens, and especially in your late teens, you're starting to ask the questions about how one fits into the grand scheme of the world. And for me, it was the practice of my faith. This is how I was going to make a difference in the world, how I was going to belong. But then what if this Jesus thing isn't true? Now, Sunday morning isn't the place to unpack the challenges of how to read the Bible. However, I do want to make an offer that as your pastor, that if any of you are struggling with how do I read the Bible, how do I do this, how do I navigate faith when my head is telling me about history and science and logic and it feels like it's at odds with this old, old story, I will tell you, first of all, you aren't wrong. It is, but I'm here to help. Call me. My number is in the bulletin. My email is in the bulletin. We'll set up a time and we'll have a good long chat. I've been there. There is certainly a way to engage these ancient stories and to have full faith in God with your brain intact. Don't be afraid of truth. All truth is God's truth. For me, with all the things that I found I could no longer believe or I found myself questioning, there was one thing that kept happening. I kept returning to that upper room 3 days after Passover. And in all my attempts to leave that room, and there were many attempts to leave that room, I just couldn't get past Jesus. no matter how hard I tried. I believe that's why Jesus hung around after the resurrection and did all the things that Jesus did. In one place in the Gospels, it says that Jesus appeared to his disciples over many occasions to deliver them many proofs. I appreciate that. Jesus knew his disciples were about to face death in this story. By the time that the Gospels were written down, many of the disciples already had given their lives for what they said was absolutely true, that a dead man got up and walked. And in this passage, we have the reassurance that Jesus offered to them so they could do what it is that they needed to do. See, in this time, in the first century, the world is starting to change. Philosophers are starting to ask questions about the nature of truth and what is real. The ancient world no longer just accepted cultural myths that are designed to explain natural phenomenon or create cultural national identities. They want something that's verifiable, something to touch, something to hold on to. They need a risen Lord who eats fish. That's what they need. And that's what Jesus provided. I will admit I still doubt. My faith isn't one that's built on the surety of words or doctrines or traditions, because those change. If we've learned anything in life, is that change defines this life. How many of you resonate with that? That change defines this life. But yet people need stability. You need something to hang on to. I personally believe that's where, whenever you see something like fundamentalism, that is where that all comes from, because people need something to hang on to. They are afraid of change. All of the unrest and the fighting back that you see is you see groups of people that are absolutely afraid of change, and their fear has been manipulated in devastating ways. Any fundamentalism or a philosophy that looks at change or learning as bad comes from a place of fear and will always lead to pain, because then you just get end up into endless arguments about whose truth is the truthier truth. And that never leads us anywhere. But Jesus in this passage is leaving us with something better. He left us with hands that we could touch when we reach out in the darkness and we don't know where to go. There are real hands. Real pierced side. Whenever we're wondering, does anyone understand the pain that we are going through? There is an actual pierced side that we can look at. And on the table, there are fish bones left over in case we ever get into the wondering that we dreamed this whole thing up in our grief. He leaves these things behind. And we find this isn't the magic lightning Jesus or the American victory Jesus or the stained glass Jesus. This is just our Jesus showing up where we are, willing to take the time and to give us exactly what we need in the moment in which we find ourselves, something to hold on to. A real person in real time with real scars that really shows up for you. Amen.